And we're back with another episode of the Hollow Nine Network's Spotlight Series, where we just meet and talk to cool people who have cool stories, and we just present them out to the world so the rest of you can get in on the action and find out what some of these people are doing. We got all kinds of different creative talents doing all kinds of different projects all the time, and we love to hang out and find out what's going on with them, because we do our own sometimes too, so it's nice to be in the playground with folks. And today, I gotta tell you, we have over at the Terra Firma Artists Union, we have constantly got an influx of new creative people joining us and hanging out. And when they do, they tend to throw up, posters and links to things they've got going on. And one of the coolest looking posters I've seen in quite a while for this new project called Daytime Nightmare, a film by Katrina Gray. So that's who we've got joining us today, folks, on the show, Miss Katrina Gray herself. How are you today?
Hi, everybody. I'm great.
Oh, man. So, you've been in the Terra Firma Artists Union for, like 2 months now, something like that, when you jumped in not too long ago? And as soon as you joined, I think one of the first things I said was, well, our street cred just jumped by a couple levels, because you've definitely got a great-looking collection of work. If everybody checks out your IMDb page, we've got a whole bunch of titles here, ranging from horror to action adventure, and I would guess with a title like Daytime Nightmare, we're going to be sort of hanging out in the horror zone. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is and what you want us to know about it right now, and then we'll see what else comes up.
Well, Daytime Nightmare, it's a psychological thriller / horror, and it's a movie that I had on mind for a long time, and I couldn't wait to get it done and bring it to life. And this year, it became a reality.
And now, so this is a you're doing like the whole, what we call the full nine here. You're writing, producing, directing, and starring in the project.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what it's like to take on something like this and have to fill all those roles at the same time. I think there are, people, we hear about this every once in a while, in the industry. There are some of the sort of powerhouses that just do the whole project, the visionaries. And it sounds like you're right there with this situation.
It's interesting because, everything what I've been doing until now, it kind of led to this, and including the acting and then, gaining experience in the film industry, in front of a camera, behind the camera. So when it came to this project, I kind of, picked up the fruits of my own work, I would say, and the knowledge, and then just all join it together. And but it would not be possible without the team I had, all the people that were working with me on Daytime Nightmare. You can find them on IMDb, and it's many people to mention names. I wish I could. With them, it would not be possible, because Daytime Nightmare, especially this one, since it's independent movie, it required a team of people focused and going one direction, and everybody who was working on it did their best, and I couldn't be happier about it. And the only reason why I could manage to do all these things is because I had a very good pre-production time and preparation. And since I managed everything I planned it all myself, so for me, I didn't have to think of what's next, because I already knew. So for me, it was kind of easy during the production, and it was cool. There's so much to talk about.
It definitely, I like, I want to talk about as much as you could tell us about the movie without spoiling it too much, but maybe before we get too deep into that, besides the fact that it's got a really cool poster with you on it and I'm guessing there's going to be a little bit of like a two worlds coming together, fighting for, taking over your reality kind of thing, just from looking at the imagery.
poster. That's awesome. That's exactly the point. Yeah.
Okay, that's it, guys. I just spoiled the whole movie for you. I'm sorry.
There's so much into it. I mean, definitely there's a twist, as every good movie should have, the twist.
Right, right.
There is a twist, but even, you know, saying by this, it's basically even from the short description of the movie itself, you can guess what it could be. But that's the thing. That's a really cool thing. Like, no matter what you do or show to people in the movie, it's always good to leave space for the viewer to decide what they want to believe in. And that's exactly the idea behind my movie, that I wanted to people think about different, you know, options, and like leave the space for creativity from the viewer side without showing it, actually.
Wow. So now that's interesting, because I think you don't see that as much in the non-independent world these days as you do in the independent world. You know, it seems like a lot of the things that are in the big studio world now are in the sort of comic book, over the top, you know, really blockbustery, but not so deep psychologically. You know what I mean? It's not as much thinking going on as, say, like somebody with a proven, you know, David Lynch type track record, where they're allowed to experiment like that. So Do you feel like that this project wouldn't have been able to be, I don't know, as close to your vision if it wasn't being done as an independent project? Like, do you feel like you would have had a lot of interference from studios?
Oh, definitely. Like, if I'm sure if somebody else took over this project, it would come out completely different, because that's more people involved. They all bring their own vision, and eventually it has to come to some kind of compromise, which definitely would not turn out the way that I thought. But it doesn't mean that necessarily has to be worse, you know, like
right.
It would be different, but of course, because it's hypothetically speaking, you don't know what would be the output of it, but you never know, might be better, might be better different, but I'm sure it would be different, but I don't know if better or worse. That's hard to tell, because
And it's, everybody likes different things, you know. The hardest part about all this is always that you never can tell. Sometimes people like things that you're surprised by, because you're like, well, I don't love that. Why does everybody else, you know what I mean? Like, that just didn't work for me, but I guess everybody else really digs it. So, you know, it's an interesting, you have to sort of, once it becomes, you know, the business side of all this comes in, you know, it's interesting how, you know, we want to be true to vision, but you got to also figure out a way to either present it in a way that people will be willing to give it a chance, or that it, you know, strikes a chord with things that they're already kind of familiar with. Did you feel like you had influences for this type of story, you know, from either movies you've worked on or movies that you've loved or stories that you've loved? And then did you have to make sure that you didn't let it become too similar to those?
Yeah, I mean, I was not inspired by certain things. It's kind of, I wanted to create a movie that I like, based the pieces of, like, the previous, not really, it's, no, that's not the way to say it. Yeah, okay, basically, the script came out, like, from my head, based on the, like, feeling of the scenes I really like. And, if you watch it, I don't think you will be able to see any similarity with other movies. But it kind of, like, the way I see the movies and the way I like, what I like about the movie, I try to put in this script. And so basically, I saw so many movies in my life. I really like the old school movies, horror movies, zombie movies, everything. And then basically I wanted to create like my own movie that would be like something I really like and put all together, you know. And then I hope that I put a big piece of me into it, literally, because it's like I wrote a script, and then when the cinematographer came with the camera, he made it into reality, you know, with actors and all the crew. They all put pieces themselves into it, and it became real now. And then the script is also, because it's from my head, of course, there are pieces literally from my life, there's some stuff. So it's like me being the script, B being the movie, plus I have a full power over, to decide whatever went into the movie, what happened in the movie, and during the production, even post-production, the way it's being edited, everything. Like, thanks to Minya Lupan from Film Cube Thailand, like, he's helping me to do everything when it comes to post-production, and we are working together, and it's becoming something crazy and beautiful in the same time. And I just hope people will love it the way I love it, because I'm very happy about the,
I mean, you could hear the passion of the way you're talking about it, like how they say when you're on the phone with somebody and the other person on the other end of the line is smiling, you can tell. Well, I could tell the way that you're talking about this. You just have a huge smile on your face, you know. So it's also, you're kind of like showing off your kid, you know what I mean? This is your baby. So when you think about this, the fact that some of this is elements of your life, some of this is elements of... I think what happens is, because I work with various different professionals and artists as well, and sometimes you have these moments where you're trying to explain to like a graphic designer or a digital artist, and you say, I'm thinking it's something like this, and you start to describe it, and they say, okay, let me work on it, and I'll let you know when I have something to show you. And then they bring you back over, and they show it to you, and you're like, it's like you looked inside my brain, and you just made it, Tell me what it's like when you have those moments with people, especially on this project.
I mean, for example, Mihina, the editor, he's amazing. Like, we talk about things, and then he gets me so much. He just gets me. And also the cinematographer, Jan Frame, when we were shooting, literally I just spoke about the scene, like, this is what we could do it this way, very magical, this and that. And he just got it, whatever, he's like, I'm on it. Literally, I feel like everybody was just getting the idea. So it was just crazy. I mean, the shooting itself, it went so well, I mean, even beyond the expectations, because, of course, since it's an independent movie, we had limited time for everything, and I wish I could have a double amount of days, but mm-hmm. we had 18 days of shooting plus, like, 2-3 days of establishing shots, but literally everything went great according to schedule, and there were like some, there were some moments a little bit challenging, but we got everything what we wanted, even more. There was a space for improvisation, which I'm happy that the actors wanted to explore the characters as well some more, which is great. And so everybody, even in pre-production time, I spent with every actor hours together. We were talking about the script with its script breakdown. We talk about the story to make sure that everybody understands what's happening. Mm-hmm. And then since, how is it with shooting? Like, you don't shoot from scene one to scene 80, you just skip, back and forth all the time. It's just not possible based on locations and stuff.
Right.
So especially that, like... I wanted to make sure that they will understand, like, this is a different time of the movie,
Yeah. It's hard. I'm sure it's hard to explain to people who don't actually make movies or work on projects like this how it would probably seem like it would be logical to film it in, sequence or in chronological order. And every once in a while, I think The Revenant, they filmed in order. But you don't really see that too much.
Budget for it, you can do that. You can go forward.
You could say we're taking the next year and a half and we're doing this.
Exactly.
And instead, you're like, you have 20 days. Okay, we could do these 2 days over here, these 2 days over there, and it's a little like schizophrenia. You know what I mean? It's a little. How did you maintain? Do you have a process to help you maintain focus through all of that, or did you have a continuity person that was helping you as well, or were you filling that role also on this project?
I had my special type of script where I had two sets of notes, one for the actors and one for me, for Lucy. So when before every scene, I did this all in pre-production. So basically, I did the same thing, script breakdown and all preparation before. So I basically knew the whole script by memory, including actor's script, so to make sure that they follow the lines as well. And so kind of I learned it all by memory, you know, like kind of exam.
Wow, that's intense. I mean, even though you wrote it. You know, sometimes, you know, I have some things that I work on that I write as well. And, you know, if you write it and then you walk away for a little while and you come back, sometimes you're almost like, oh, wow, I wrote this. You know what I mean? So to think that you not only wrote it and then went that next step of you committing the whole thing to memory, that's an intense process.
It might sound intense, but for me, it came very easy. I don't know why. Maybe because I was so excited to, you know, that all it was coming together so well. And, especially all the actors that, you know, decided to work with me on it and the whole crew and everybody. It's just like I had so much responsibility that I was not even thinking about if I can do it or not or if it's too much for me or anything. It's just literally all these feelings. Like literally got lost, and or anything that was left in my mind was the focus on getting it done. You know,
so
I could not think of anything else but the production process, Lucy, and the script, getting it done and shooting beyond time and schedule and everything. So I did not have even space to think how I feel about the whole process, and I still don't realize really how all is coming all together. So like I said, like in the pre-production period, I had time to focus on the preparation, and so I created the notes for actors in everything when I wanted to take out from the scene. I put it on in my script. I literally have my left side and right side, and even two different colors of the writing. So I mix it. So before every scene, I just look in. I even know those notes. I knew by memory. But before every scene, I just looked at those notes, and it just all came to me and was like, okay, let's do it. So there was no time for hesitation or through too much. We didn't even have time on shooting, you know, itself. So I don't know. I guess it just was all very well organized because everything went great.
It sounds like too. You know, this. How long would you say this story has been living in your mind before you actually started working on a script? Because it sounds like it sounds like this was building for a while, and that you were sort of collecting pieces as you went through your experiences and through working on different projects, and then finally the time seems to have been right for this to start becoming its own work. But when did that start, do you think? When was the first time you thought maybe you should make a movie out of this idea?
Well, it was not a story. It was because it's based on a nightmare, as you can see from the title, Daytime Nightmare. And so most of the things that you will see in the movie is actually something that I dreamt, I was dreaming about. Well, nightmare.
Wow, that's so crazy. You're letting people in. You're letting people in behind the curtain there a little bit.
Literally. So I wanted to literally show people what I'm dreaming about, or, you know, having nightmares about.
Okay, and I will stop you real quick for an interesting parallel, or an interesting, this is kind of almost Twilight Zone-ish. So my mom's maiden name is Gray, but it's spelled G-R-A-Y instead of G-R-E-Y, like yours. And the only reason I'm suddenly deciding to bring this up is because maybe 15 years ago, probably sometime, you know, maybe when I was towards the end of high school, about to go to college. So that was actually closer to 20 years ago. Holy shit, I'm getting old. And she actually said to me, like, you know, I have crazy nightmares, and you should just do a story called My Mom's Nightmares. And I was like, yeah, one day maybe. And here I am now, 2018, talking to another Gray about a story based on things that she dreamt in her. I mean, it's just, to me, that's a little bit of a Twilight Zone moment. So sorry to make it weird. I just thought I'd throw that out there because it's kind of funny.
So you see, this is exactly, you are the reason why, you and many other people is the reason why I wanted to make this movie, because I know when people will watch, they will relate, they will see themselves in it. It's like, oh, I dreamt about this too, you know, or something similar. You know what I mean? So it's like, this is what I want, like, wanted to show the audience, like, they can find themselves in the movie themselves, you know, and because we all the same, you know, everything, I'm sure, like, you know, it's like, if you think about the energy, we all, I'm sure, dream about the same things, or maybe slightly different, but we are just, we are all the same. So I was hoping that they will see it as well this way.
I love this, because this could totally start going into different areas, like, you know, there's some strange theories out there that are starting to come to light, like actual, you know, scientists, you know, intelligent people are starting to say things like they think our reality might actually be a giant shared simulation, like a giant video game that none of us know when we get, it's like the Matrix, you know what I mean? And so if, you know, as kind of crazy as that sounds on the surface, when you start to look at things like the fact that we all have, you know, certain nightmares that we all have in common, or certain dreams that we all would tend to have, that starts to make ideas like that not sound so crazy. And so I kind of, I love though when things like this happen, where, you know, I kind of try to describe to people sometimes writing, it seems like the idea isn't even 100% coming from you, but almost like it's coming through you. You know what I mean? Sometimes, at least for me, I've found that there are times where I'm sitting there typing, but I'm like, holy, I mean, where I'm coming up with, you know what I mean? Like, where is this coming from? And, and sometimes I wonder if it's maybe something like that, this idea that there's this collective consciousness that's all of us. And every once in a while, you know, we're all connected to it, but every once in a while you actually see all of it. You know what I mean? Like, you get a little bit of extra signal, not just your signal, everybody else's signal comes through a little bit. And I'm getting deep now, so we could go.
I agree with you, because it's the same thing, like when you're in the room of with a person that is, let's say, angry, it kind of disturbs you and you kind of change mood as well. Or if you're in the room with a person that is super happy, it kind of lighten up your day as well. So we all influence each other energy, right?
Right.
So how can you feel someone's energy, you know, mood? So mood, energy, same thing.
And you found a way to capture that and put it on film, at least the, you know, sort of giving everybody a glimpse of your perception of it, you know, like the way it is for you.
I see the life, kind of thing. Yes, and I try to, so like to actually to to answer your question, how long have I had this story in my head? I had these pieces of story in my head for, I would say, more than a year, and I was thinking to make a short first of one nightmares, but, you know, literally it was supposed to be a short. But so when I was talking to my cinematographer, Jan Frame, I was like, okay, let's do the short. But suddenly I was like, I don't want to do short. I want to do the whole feature film. Are you with me? And he said, yes. And that's how it, you know, that literally happened end of January. And I said, okay, let me give you a script within 2 weeks. And that's exactly what I've done. And then that's exactly, you know, and then we started to shoot beginning of April. End of April, it was done. Since then, I was editing every day with Mihnya, and then now here we are.
Wow, wow! You hear that out there, everybody? Don't ever let anybody tell you it can't be done. This is like, it went from idea to, you know, piece being filmed within months. You know, I think a lot of people, a lot of times when they hear, you know, how much work goes into a project like this, you know, you always have those friends who are saying, oh, you know, I wish I could do this, but I just, you know, I could never make a movie. And it's like, why? Just go do it. You know what I mean? Just get some, find the right people, find the people, like, you know, even if you do it on weekends, you know, you find a, that's why even the idea for a short is kind of how a lot of people will meet in the middle there. They, you know, I want to do a movie, but I don't have the time and I definitely don't have the money. So let's just do the coolest scene out of the script and then we'll kickstart it, or we'll shop that around, or we'll We'll put that out as a short. And sometimes that can be really cool, too. You know, every once in a while you see a short that came out awesome, you know, and you're like, damn, I mean, that movie is just awesome by itself in that little 5-minute piece. But I can't wait to see the 2-hour version. What about this story for you felt that it needed to live in the form of a full feature, that it just wouldn't have... it wouldn't have it had justice done to it as a short, I guess, is the way I it seems to me. That's just the vibe I get.
I was like, okay, I'm going to do this 20 minutes short, let's say, 25 minutes. But what for? If I now I'm so close, I can just get it done all, and I want to. And so I was like, and I'm glad that I didn't do the short. I'm really glad I didn't do, because I could do more, and I, you know, and I still want to do... From now on, I really want to do only feature films. And I have 5 more scripts that I want to do. And
wow, nice.
Basic pieces of something that I love about movies in different genre. Well, similar genre, all thriller kind of thing. But I want to get them done. And definitely, it's just like I want to bring them to life. And I want to see what I have in my head to people.
So when you think about all the different things that you had to... sort of learn on the journey, you know, when you look at your reel, you have so many different types of projects on there. And I think I definitely want to point out the action adventure stuff, because there's definitely moments where I'm like, yo, okay, so her name is Gray. She's kind of like the X-Men, and oh, look, she's beating the crap out of people just like the X-Men. And it's no joke. I mean, these are like really intense, quick, well choreographed fight scenes. Do you have background as a martial artist, or was that something that came along with all working on these different projects? And is that something that we get to see at all in this project, or is that really like not so much the thriller? It doesn't have as much of the sort of action adventure side of it.
I don't have a background in martial arts, but I wish I did. I went, you know, I was focusing throughout my life on acting, and unfortunately, my parents didn't really take me to that way I wanted to do, for example, karate, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
I don't think my parents would let me when I was very, very little. So I was just doing the performing arts, singing, dancing, and stuff like that, and acting. But I wish I did. And basically, growing up, I really loved X-Files and Stargate and Alfred Hitchcock and Tales from the Crypt. So all these kinds of series and even movies. I loved all the zombie movies. It all influenced me. And, you know, one my big dream, since I was little, I wanted to be in a Hobbit movie. I wanted to be an elf.
Oh my God, this is so awesome. I'm just like I can't, I've been like trying to hold back here, because I'm just like, yo, she is too cool. I'm like, this is perfect that we found her and that we're doing an interview with you for Spotlight, because that's basically all the stuff we love here at the Hollow Knight Network. And, you know, you don't find as many people, even people who are in the world of production and filmmaking sometimes, especially, you know, you have a very beautiful look. There's a very easy sort of, I think, typecast that you could wind up in, and the fact that you are coming at it already, you're like, I love the X-Files, I love, like, I want to be in the Hobbit movies, like, what? That's awesome, that's so awesome. And we need more people to be into that genre, you know, because you got Comic-Con, you've got the sort of nerdy culture is becoming much more mainstream these days. It's becoming sort of the main culture now, especially with all the superhero movies. And it's funny how not too long ago it wasn't so cool, you know what I mean? And it would be rare, even if you actually were into stuff like this, for someone who has your look to be going, yeah, I'd love to do sci-fi. You know what I mean? Usually they're kind of more in the horror, maybe, because that's where a lot of that, but not necessarily, I wouldn't say necessarily psychological. We've had a big sort of explosion in the last few years of all the slasher movies again, right? So I kind of feel like that would have made sense. But the this whole, like, I'm just like, she's one of us. You're part of our nerd culture now. So cool.
I'm proud of you, you know, because, and there's the thing, like, for example, I always was dreaming about to be, you know, Stargate, going to another planet, explore, and, you know, go live all these adventures and shoot, you know, like, fight and, you know, be strong female character, soldier. Mm-hmm. All these, you know, and then when I was basically after school, when I was very, very little, you know, that in Slovakia, I was very popular. I don't know, a computer game, Counter-Strike. And
oh, Half-Life. Yeah. Everybody played Counter-Strike and Half-Life.
All my pocket money all my pocket money went into that every day after school, at least for 2 hours. I was just like behind the computer in these computer places. It was like 10 of us and we were all fight, you know, playing with each other. And I was good then, you know.
This is like so like internet cafes, and you guys are kind of like going and doing tournaments and Counter-Strike.
Of course.
This is crazy.
That was a tournament, and I was bad, you know. And then I was like, I literally, there was almost no girl.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're probably very rare amongst that crowd, you know.
Yeah. But, and then I stopped going once I started liking the boys more than the game, so.
Well, because, you know, when we're playing the game, we're not exactly nice, you know, it's not like.
You heard us, we were talking, it was like, I kill you, and then it was just like, I don't know, we were calling each other by nicknames. So my nickname was Anakinasi, so that's something that I live with all my life, Anakinasi.
Gotcha.
So, you know, like Anakin Skywalker?
Yeah. I was going to say, very Star Wars-y. Oh, it's so cool. This is so cool. It's like a model who's into nerdy stuff. This is awesome. And went to internet cafe. That's the other thing, guys. You know, you're out there, you're playing these games online, you're making fun of people, you're being mean. Just think about it. You could be talking to somebody like Katrina, who's going to make a movie about you being a dick in the chat room one day. So you guys just better be careful what you say to people. Let's be a little bit nicer out there, world. Let's calm down. Oh, man, this is wild. This is so cool. Well, of course, somebody who's into all that stuff, I kind of feel like the 80s and 90s, for as much as people make fun of them, they are the two decades that sort of laid all the groundwork for the stuff that people are doing now, you know?
It's all coming back into fashion.
It's almost like, I feel like it was a time where things were like, you know, more pure in a way. You know, it wasn't, everything wasn't like a reboot or a remake and not a reboot to make it just like everything else. Everything, I think, in the 80s and 90s, things were kind of like putting a tent in the putting a flag in the ground saying, we're going to be this thing. Like, X-Files was its own thing, and all these other things came after. And if X-Files hadn't been a thing, those other things wouldn't have even had a place to start, you know what I mean? So it's kind of awesome to me that it's coming back.
In Daytime Nightmare, I think the nightmares in the movie has that 80s feeling.
Oh, 80s. Wow.
Yeah, so
now, what about
over the experiment, but I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it that way because I'm old, call me old fashioned or old school, but this is it. You have one shot here, and then either do it your way or there's no way, especially in, you know, independent movie. Just put it and then see how people will like it.
Now, do you think it? Do you think it's easier to sort of take a risk like this when it's a script that you've written, or do you think that there would be? Do you think it would be as easy to be as focused on it and to be as connected to it the way you are with, you know, memorizing the whole script going into shooting, if it were, say, somebody else's script or a novel that you were trying to translate? Do you feel like there was something about the fact that this was personal that made it easy to be this hyper-focused on it?
I think it was more easy because I wrote it. It already been in my head, completely established. Mm-hmm. So for me, it worked very well that it was my script, and that's why I'm writing, you know, I have five more to go. So I think it's going to be similar case as well, that it's going to come very natural and very easy to me. But it doesn't necessarily mean that any other person's script, if I was directing, it would not be the case. It could be the case if everything was done before the shooting and I can fully focus on it. Mm. And everything could be discussed beforehand. Everything could be set, like, you know, how you want to do this, are you okay with this and that? If we can discuss it all before, and when it comes to the production, then complete, you know, freedom of getting it done. So focus, but not during the production, because I think that's what can take you away from the direction.
Right, gotcha. So do your homework. Make sure you do your homework.
No, preparation. Yeah, that's all.
When you think about how there might be people out there who, you know, might be similar, might have a story in their head or have been living with something inside them, but they might be afraid to take that first step, or they might not even know what the first step to put a project like this together would be. What sort of advice do you have, or do you have a quick, you know, 1, 2, 3, here are the first couple steps to get going, and then it's up to you after that?
So I would say definitely first step would be, you have an idea, right? You said the idea. So firstly, write down the idea.
That's good. It's always good to start there.
On not writing the idea. They have the idea, but everybody has ideas. It becomes reality once you take it, make it real, right?
Right.
So firstly, write it down. Once you wrote down the idea, make it a script. If you don't know how, use Google, find out how to write a script. Simple. Then you have a script now. So what do you do next? I would say show it to some people you would want to work with, and then try to get them on board. Find people that love the story, your story, as much as you do, and just get together. And if you don't know what to do next, ask people that have more experience than you, and then ask them what to do, get some advice. So don't be worried to ask for advice, because not everybody knows everything. Even I don't know everything. I need to ask, I need to Google, I need to find out information. You know, nobody's perfect. We are not the robots or anything like that. So I'm lucky that I have people around that I met that they give me an advice, and I need that advice, because, you know, there are people they've been through this before.
What was it like? Was it scary for you at first? I mean, it seems like if you've been in this business, or if you've been on sets, you've worked on projects, it's a little bit less scary. But I think for somebody who may be coming to it fresh, with no experience at all, it could be pretty daunting, because like you said, it goes from talking about the idea with your friends when you're, you know, having drinks or whatever, to now you've got a team, like an entire army of people who are working on making that idea come to life. And it can be a lot to deal with, because every single person needs you to tell them what to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's your, yeah, when you're the director, like when you're running the show, everything from the top to the bottom is like looking at you for the answer. So that's a lot of pressure. So
I would say try to get some experience first before you do something on your own, because I think it's difficult to just do something when you don't know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. What I did in my case, I tried to watch people, and then I tried to get experience from other people, and I was looking what they do, how they do. So I think that's very, for example, why don't you do like internship on someone else's project, and then volunteer to help, and then you can get some experience, and you see how the filmmaking works, understand how it works on set and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, because actually, I mean, when you're on set, the storytelling part, at least the concept, is already done, right? You know, it's like, I think people kind of I know I used to think that, you know, every day people would just show up and say, all right, we're going to do this today, where it's like, no, that's planned out for like months. You know what I mean? They know exactly what they're doing for the next 90 days because they've all read the script 20 times. They've had meetings. They've read through it.
Yeah.
Now it's the execution part. The creativity of being able to still mold stuff is back in that pre-production phase when you're doing the table reads and saying, oh, you know, that line doesn't actually work as well. Hearing somebody say it out loud, it looked great on paper, but hearing it, yeah, it suddenly doesn't work as well. Let's adjust that. I mean, that still happens on set too, but For the most part.
Well, yeah, it does happen once you like do the thing that you were supposed to, and then you have time to, for let's say improvisation. So that's on the top, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you can change some stuff. Doesn't work, like let's say the set doesn't fit or something, some problem or anything, so you kind of improvise, but it's still the same, around the same idea.
Yeah.
So but I don't think you would I mean, there are some movies, of course there have been done that they were purely improvised and literally we come and do this today and it worked, you know, it can work, it doesn't mean that it's just different, but I mean, I was trying to, I had to follow the script, of course, because what was written had to be made. So, but yeah. There are scripts that they improvise, like it's, and it works. It can work if you know how to make it work.
I think like Dazed and Confused is famously almost 100% improvised. That I mean, that's a big movie with a lot of people in it to be improvised.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about, I'm sorry, go ahead. I feel like I just cut you off.
Oh, I just want to say, like, I would say, like, the ultimate advice I could give you, learn how to work as a team, in a team, because I don't think I could do all this if I didn't have a team or could not be a team player. And that's something what people maybe sometimes forget.
Mm.
They're not alone. They're not individuals. They're a team.
Yeah. And even when it's your vision, you still are relying on all these people to...
Yeah,
and they have to believe in you enough to have taken the job in the first place too. So there's, I think there's an element where people need to get over the insecurity of that, you know.
Yeah, be kind of like a team leader, but team leader in a way, as a team leader, the team leader would be the leader of the team, but be part of the team.
Yeah. You know? Well, when you think about how sometimes these challenges come up while you're on set or while you're in the middle of filming. You know, you think about even big historic movies like Star Wars, the first Star Wars. The reason a lot of the movie looks the way it did is because of the limitations they had and the obstacles they had to overcome and use creative problem solving. And I think they, you know, obviously created a movie that left the whole world changed after they watched it. When you were working on this project, were there any moments that at first seemed like they were challenges that were maybe gonna shut the whole thing down, you know, like as soon as you get to that roadblock you're like, oh man, what are we gonna do here, but then wound up becoming success stories for you that kind of helped you keep going?
There was one time before, like maybe 10 days before the production itself, and I was not sure. I was like woke up one morning and something happened. I will not go into details, but something happened, let's say. And I was not sure if it's going to all happen. But then I was like, you know what? I started it. I spent so many months already on it. And I was like, I'm going to turn this around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And by the end of the day, I turned it around. And I'm happy for the thing that happened. I'm glad that it happened. And it was one of the hardest days of this year, I would say, that day. And if it never happened, the movie would not be what it is now.
Wow.
If that thing didn't happen.
So sometimes the hardest parts to deal with turn out to be
the best thing,
the most rewarding, you know?
Yeah, and this, all my life, I feel like everything that bad happened to me, I am so glad it all happened, because I would not be the person I am now, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And everything what happened in my life would not be so cool as it is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm thanking all the bad things that happened to me.
That's interesting that you say that. It's funny because I've been having conversations about things like that with people lately. And, you know, even if it could be anything. It doesn't even necessarily have to be anything related to your journey into the world of filmmaking. It could be, and I tell people, you know, I'm sure there are people who like maybe have gotten divorced and they look back at when that was happening and they say, my God, that was like the worst time ever. I wish I could go back and make that not happen, or I wish I could have gone back and changed things so I didn't have to go through that. And then right when they say that, I say to them, but that is part of the path that led you to this moment right now where we're talking about things. And if you look at other elements of your life since then have gotten better. So maybe that pain was necessary so that you know now for the rest of your life what that feels like. And it'll help you decide or make choices going forward.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. Yeah. Bad thing itself, it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just experience. And it's up to you how you approach the thing. And
right.
Literally, you can switch it around completely and change your life any moment, anytime. Any moment, anytime, throw it up all your life, basically.
Well, this sounds like it's just the first of many incredible things for you that we're going to have to make sure that you keep coming back to hang out with us here at the Hollow Nine Network to talk about, because yep. This is a blast when we meet artists like this who, you know, you could just tell your passion is coming through with your voice and everything about it. Is there anything, you don't have a trailer yet, right, for the film? The film doesn't have a trailer?
Not right now, so hopefully soon.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're definitely going to throw that on our Facebook page when that's ready. And you know what? Like, I think that, you know, you now that we know that you love Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and all kinds of cool stuff, we gotta have you come hang out with us and talk about movies sometimes, because we have all different shows that are different about, you know, different Netflix shows and different movies. But I think it'd be great to have someone who's actually a filmmaker kind of join us for a conversation about what some of these, you know, so it's us just kind of talking about it like big, you know, big overly excited movie fans, but you know, some of us have a little bit of experience in the world of production, so we can kind of bring some of those insights to our conversations. And somebody who can put a project like this together from scratch and pull together a team of talented people and kind of give us some perspective on what it's like behind the camera and putting something, putting a movie together, always would help a conversation like that. So I hope you'll join us sometime.
I would love that. Yeah, definitely.
Is there, when you think about this sort of thing that we're doing, the being in movies, the five more that you want to make, what is your favorite part about this? What is the thing that makes you feel the most like this is what you were put here to do? You're in the right place now at the right time and things are on the right trajectory for you.
I always wanted to leave a trace behind me. So I will always wanted to create. And I was not sure which way my life was going to turns out or will take me, my path will take me. But I knew once I started to, from the theater, when I started to do commercials and movies, I knew it was a film. And I was not sure if I'm able to write a script, but I just done it. I just said, okay, I don't care. I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to think. I mean, no, I don't care. I mean, I don't care how I feel about it, if I am good enough or not. I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to let my mind to tell me how I feel about something. I just do it. And I knew that filmmaking, that was the right thing for me. And that's what I want to do. I want to bring my all my scripts, my ideas, everything from my head to reality. And that drives me, that gives me, it's my passion. And it kind of gives me also life purpose, I would say.
Ah, nice. Okay. If you weren't doing this, is there anything else you think that would be anywhere close to having you feel like it's the same? Oh, you know?
I would definitely will be in army. Or,
Wow.
Pilot. That was my second and third choice. Pilot or soldier.
Okay. So now is that because you feel like you want to protect people, or you know, where, what do you think is the psychology behind that?
I want to contribute. You might think like, oh, movie, how you contribute, right? How you contribute to the world is into the literally it's entertainment industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you entertain people, you give them, let's say, good time, or you entertain them in a way that it influences them. You show them a movie and then they will think about it. They will cry. They will laugh. They will hate it maybe. They will love it maybe. They will take their date and they will spend the night, evening in cinema watching your movie. So you will make them happy. You will make them feel something. You will give them emotion. You entertain them. So you contribute to the world. You make people happy. Or whatever emotion you give them with your creation, with your movie, that's what drives me. And that thing would drive me if I was a soldier. You know, you would contribute. You will feel like you serve a higher purpose.
Mm. And I think if you have this thing that all these people can come to on their own and feel the same way, you know, like if your movie scares people, if everybody is scared by it, it's a way that everybody is connecting that they wouldn't be doing on their own, you know, without this thing to bring them together. And even people who, you know, outside of the cinema probably would never even talk to each other, but they would both watch this and feel the same emotions by it. It's interesting how that works for our species.
Even if you inspired one person with it, you know, that's already good enough because you inspired someone else, a part of you. And that's, you know.
And what if they're the next person that's like you? What if they're the next person that's going to be fearless and take their ideas and make them reality, you know?
Exactly. Like there will be like, you know, a lot more people connecting together. So I will be happy whatever it's going to come out of it. I'll be happy.
So when we talk again 10 years from now, what does the future look like for Katrina Gray as of right now, as of August of 2018? If you were looking into a crystal ball at your future 10 years from now, what do you think you would see?
I am directing big time historical and fantasy movies.
Nice.
And also acting in them.
There you go. Yeah. So what's it like to carry both of those responsibilities? Do you feel like it's harder to act in something you're directing, or is it acting and directing just separate in your mind? You know, can you talk to that for a minute real quick?
Yeah, I think it's separate. It's separate. I wouldn't say hard. It depends on what are your expectations. If that's what you wanted, I mean, that's it, right? So I might, of course, not easy. If it's hard, yes. But if it's impossible, no. So, I mean, there are other actors that direct and act as well, like James Poe and, you know, others. So it's not impossible. And it doesn't necessarily always have to be, let's say, main role, but a role. And I want to do that because, you know, I want to be as contributing to the story in movies as much as I can and as much as I know how to.
So when you watch movies, you for yourself as a viewer, you buy into the world completely, right? Like when you're watching a movie like Lord of the Rings, as far as you're concerned, and this is, I mean, because this is how it is for me, so I'm sure this is a little bit weird, but, you know, as far as you're concerned, that world is real, and those people, what we're watching is really part of a history of this other place that you've never been to, but it is real. I mean, I think that's supposed to be the idea, right? And it's kind of like when you know what it's like to have that kind of a connection, to have even just one moment where you pop up on screen, right? Even if you just give one line, you still get to be part of that world, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree, 100%.
Very cool. This is awesome. Well, this has been a blast. I hope that, you know, that we have a premiere that is amazing and that as soon as we get some trailers or anything promotional, we can help share it on the Hollow Knight Network. And everybody's looking forward to Daytime Nightmare because sometimes I just call that my job, but everyone else, I'm sure we all have nightmares that we keep thinking about during the day. And so you got to keep the lines of what's real and what's not, you know, you got to keep those secure because otherwise you'll lose your mind. So definitely. And whatever you've got next, I'm sure we'll be talking about it right here at the Hollow Knight Network. So thank you very much for hanging out in the spotlight with us. And we definitely look forward to having you back sometime.
Thank you. I'll be happy to come back.
Awesome. Well, good luck with everything. Everyone out there, is there a website people can go to? Let's tell them all the things they need to know about Daytime Nightmare and where they can find more information about it.
Daytime Nightmare, you can find on Facebook, a fan page called Daytime Nightmare. And there I will be posting all the news about the movie and actors and everything. And also I am on Instagram, Katrina_Gray. Also on Twitter, Katrina Gray. And I have my website, Katrina Gray, and also fan page on Facebook, Katrina Gray.
All right. So just like Hollow Knight, it's the same name in everything. You just look for the same name across all platforms. And, you know, you can keep your ears here for all the news as well, because, you know, whenever we meet a new friend at Hollow Knight, we like to make sure we stay in touch and keep telling everybody about what they got going on. And I'm looking forward to it. So thank you so much for hanging out and telling us about your movie. And we'll be talking to you again soon.
Awesome.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Hollow Knight Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com. where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Knight Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Knight.